Please listen carefully.
Well, hello world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Chrissy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, I actually meditated today and Christy did yoga before the podcast-worthy podcast. Today is Monday, June 15th, 2020.
Yes, Summers, I'm more worked out and stretched than I usually am on Monday mornings, and I think it actually is going to make it for a better podcast for me today.
I think so. I realized today, after my husband and the baby left for their morning drive, I was cleaning up the kitchen and I thought, you know, I'm just going to put on one of my meditations that I listen to and I'll just listen to the intro 10 minutes and then I'll hop on the podcast. And as I was listening to it, I realized that I was just going to push recording by 10 minutes so I could actually sit and meditate. As I was meditating, I was thinking about, and I know when you're meditating, you're not supposed to think about things, but give me a beat here. The last time I meditated was 11 months ago before Brennan was born. And 11 months ago, Christy, is when I went into induced labor the first time. So 11 months of no meditation, but now I feel better.
Summers, welcome to being a new mother. That's all I can say.
But it's great.
You got it in under a year.
Yeah, I feel like I'm winning. You know, it's kind of layers of health and wellness. At the Optimist Daily, we are always telling people how to be healthy, but it is do as I say, not as I do, because Christy and I both will freely admit that we don't always follow our own instructions. But a couple weeks ago, we talked about nutrition and I started kind of layering it on. Like the first week I focused on hydration. Second week I focused on trying to just not eat crap. And this is the third week. And I think I'm going to just maybe layer in exercise a little bit and see if I can't get some interval training, you know, just 15-minute workouts or something in. Want to do it with me?
I will do that. How much of a commitment are we talking about now, Summers?
Okay, so there is this program on Amazon Prime. Well, I guess there's lots of programs. Friends of mine use it on all sorts of different places. But it's high intensity interval training, and it's 15 minutes. And I figure I can put the baby in her playpen, and I can do a high intensity interval training or a HIIT workout. She can watch, and she'll think we're having a dance party, but I will actually be exercising. So I think 45 minutes, if we do three in a week, just 45 minutes, I know that that's going to help me.
Okay, I'm in. I can do that. I can commit to three times 15 minutes over the next week. I can do that.
And anyone else who's at home who wants to commit to three times 15 minutes, let us know. Join it. Let's do it. Hold me accountable. And if it is a terrible disaster, I'll share with you if she reacts really poorly to watching her mom jump up and down.
I think it's modeling very positive behavior for your daughter. So it's good. I don't know what Tucker's going to do when I start dancing around the living room, though. He might freak out.
He might. He'll start making his little funny Tucker noises.
Yeah. Tucker is my dog, by the way, not my son. My son will be fine.
Your son will be fine. Is he 16 yet?
14. 14. Yeah.
Oh, how they grow. Well, speaking of being good role models for the rest of the world, I feel like the Optimist Daily sort of takes some of that on today. What did you find in the Optimist Daily headlines that spoke to you this morning, my dear?
The story I wanted to highlight is actually the lead story for the day. It's about online shopping for food assistance programs can improve health equity. And this is an interesting one because, I mean, a lot of us who've been following staying at home guidelines and even just trying to stay out of being really out in public a lot, we have taken to using things like Instacart and online food delivery types of programs, even if it's Grubhub or whatever you're using to get your takeout delivered. And this kind of no contact shopping has been really useful for people who don't want to expose themselves to coronavirus. But one population that has been really locked out of that is people who rely on food assistance programs like SNAP or WIC. And there's a lot of people in this country who rely on that. There's also food lines, which are growing, and that's really unfortunate going on right now in many, many places around the country. But people who do get SNAP, if you have to go into the grocery store, you are at more risk. It's a lot of people who are relying on these programs also are mothers who have young children. And then that means that they can't just leave their kids at home. They have to bring them out into public. It creates infection rates that are higher in addition to other things. These are already people who are in the more vulnerable population. And it could be fine if you're a young person, you're not that worried about yourself. But what if you're out there exposing other people who are immunocompromised? Or what if you are an immunocompromised person yourself? Let's say you have some young children, you also have an older parent who you're taking care of.
Let me jump in here. We've talked about the variant infection rates and the way that certain populations, specifically Black Americans, have a higher rate of infection of COVID-19. And this article, I think, is really insightful because it helps us recognize that part of the reason that may be is because the ability to, just as you said, leave the kids at home and go to the supermarket just doesn't exist in families that are of need. And in the way that we understand the architecture of the United States, Black families are more likely to not have abundance of capital that other communities have. And so the idea that there would be more infection rate for those who do not have available additional services is really, really salient.
Yeah, and that's true. And in California, for example, I think 75% of recipients of SNAP are in the Latino population. The details are in the article. And that's just California. Other states are going to have very different populations. And so this program is just starting to be opened up in California, where last month, California's food stamp program is now allowing beneficiaries to use their food stamp benefits to buy groceries online at some participating stores, which I just think this is important. It also speaks to the digital divide between those people who are in the sort of 21st century, have access to the internet and technologies and can use them easily, and those people who are left behind because of whatever factors, whether they don't have high-speed internet, they don't have the technological tools, or in this case, they don't have the proper banking, or they don't have the ability to use digital money, right? So they have to actually be in-person kinds of shopping. That's why I wanted to bring this story out. Go read the full story. I don't want to get into all that. Over the weekend, I was talking on another podcast I do with Ronaldo. We were talking about the country of Peru, which has done a lot of really good measures in relation to COVID-19, but they're still having pretty significant outbreaks. And part of the problem is that because of the inequalities in that population, so many people have to go to the grocery store every day because they don't have refrigeration. And that is one of the reasons that they've been unable to contain the spread of the COVID-19 process. So anyway, just going to the grocery store, the more you're out in public, the more likely you are to be exposed and to expose others. So I think this is a really important story. That's why I wanted to talk about it today.
Yeah, I think it's so important for us to recognize that the endemic effects of inequality are really important to look at. When health and wellness of communities are affected because they do not have similar access. You know, I was talking to some friends over the weekend who are in the health industry as healthcare workers, and they were talking about their own experience of different populations. And we live in Central Coast, California. There is a strong Latinx population, and that they are seeing a very different experience of health and wellness right now. Their patients that are coming in are really split between those who have more equitable experiences and more services available to them and those who do not. So this is one of those situations where we look at inequality and we recognize that we have to do more as a community together. And for SNAP to be available to be online is such a great thing, and I'm sure other states will be rolling this out as well.
Sure.
Probably already are.
Yeah, and it's just one more thing. I think it's a solution because it helps to lower some of those inequalities, and there's no reason that you can't use your food assistance if you're getting it through online shopping. Well, what's the story you wanted to highlight today?
Well, back to the sea, back to the ocean, and to brackish water, or briny water, I will say. The headline is, a new desalinization technology turns brine into valuable chemicals. Now, I'll let you guys go in and read all the technical elements of this article on the Optimist Daily, but simply put, the more brackish or briny water is very difficult to turn into potable water. And desalinization, which does produce about 27 billion gallons of drinking water each day, is a truly expensive process, you know, and takes a tremendous amount of energy, which has held it back from ambitious success. One of the valuable things that is coming out of this particular story and this particular technology is that it's actually splitting the water into positively charged sodium and negatively charged chlorine ions, which are then used for other commercially necessary chemicals. Those chemicals can be used in things from like soap, paper, etc. There's a lot more details on how the process of this works in the article. But what I love about this article, and Christy, you know, these kinds of stories get me really excited, is when we are looking at the commerce nature of solutions, and when we can actually say this becomes a financially beneficial thing to do, right? When the remnants or output of any sort of process that improves our world also has a financial benefit as well. Published in ACS Sustainable Chemistry and Engineering, this particular story and this particular article shows how this technology can be valuable both to communities that need access to more water, as well as to organizations and businesses that can use the chemicals that are extracted from it.
I would just say that the thing that's interesting is that it's making it more economically feasible because you're finding additional uses for the, what would otherwise just be a waste product, which is
exactly
the
salty
water stuff that's left
valuable
over after the desalination happens. And in order for this technology to really become a valuable part of our freshwater resources, we need to be able to do it in an economically replicable way in different places around the world. And this kind of additional use means that you can actually get commercially viable products out of the salt brine, out of the what would otherwise just be considered sludge and waste. And what do you do with that once you've taken it out of the ocean or the salt water that you're using? So I think
exactly.
This is great.
Yeah.
I like this story a lot just because, as I've mentioned before, I did grow up sailing a lot. When you are crossing an ocean, your water maker is one of the most important parts of the boat. You want to make sure you can continue to make fresh waters.
I was watching Victoria, the PBS show, and they were talking about the cholera epidemic. It was, I think it's season 3. And they were talking about how men were less likely to get cholera because they were more likely to be drinking beer. Women and children were more likely to get cholera because they were drinking the source that was the bad water. And it just reminded me that even in history, these sort of epidemics that have affected the way that our world has evolved, things haven't changed much, right? There are certain populations that are more likely or less likely to get sick. And then as I was reading this and thinking about water and water technology, how I'm very glad that the world has changed in the sense that we are finding new ways for fresh and potable water for people all over the world, because we do have this abundant resource in the ocean, and finding economically viable ways for potable water to be made out of the ocean is just obviously here, and we need to focus on it.
And especially when I think the 75% of the world's population lives near the sea, you know, hey, there's a resource if we can use it, but we have to use it in a way that's not going to pollute the ocean with more salinity by putting the brine back into it. So this is a great solution for using that and making it worthwhile. Okay, so some of the other headlines on today's Optimist Daily. There's a headline about, this company makes it so easy to transition your home to renewable energy. And that's Arcadia. I actually use that. That's in the energy section on the Optimist Daily.
Startup. Oh, do you really use it already?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm on Arcadia. I've been on Arcadia for several years. And basically, I know that my carbon footprint is lower because I get 100% of my energy is coming from renewable sources through this program.
All right. We're going on Arcadia at this house.
There's a startup in Uganda that's upcycling plastic bottles into building materials and PPE. Scientists have mapped an entire ancient Roman city using only radar technology, and that's really exciting for me as an anthropologist. Archaeologist, I've done archaeology in my past. There's a new bionic eye that has the potential eventually to restore sight and even offer night vision. It's just a really interesting new technology, not yet perfected, but that's a cool story. There's an article about understanding the four stages of sleep, which can help you feel more rested by knowing how to hack your sleep time.
Let's see. There's also scientists harness renewable energy using water vapor in the air. Mexican highway is now flanked by lush vertical gardens. And guys, definitely go look at the images of that. That is beautiful and how we need to be re-envisioning all of our urban environments. And a good old history article that collapsed stars again validate Einstein's theory of relativity. So it's a sciencey day here at the Optimist Daily. There is a lot of good STEM articles in there. Definitely read them with your kids and share them with people that you think will be inspired. Certainly as we embark on this next chapter as a world, we need our technology and our engineering and our mathematics to make the world a better place.
Yep. Well, thank you everybody for listening to the Optimist Daily Update today. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and to offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And if you have visited theoptimistdaily.com lately, you may have noticed a couple changes. We have put up a reminder banner for people that we do need you to become an emissary to support reader-funded independent journalism for only $5 a month. There are a lot of things you spend on your subscriptions. There are a lot of very expensive things that go into just watching and absorbing content. But at the Optimist Daily, for only $5 a month, which is less than a fancy Trenta cup of coffee from Starbucks, you can be part of the solution, changing consciousness, addressing our world's biggest challenges, and furthering a problem-solving mindset. Please join us again on Friday for our next Optimist Daily.
What? Well, no. Yeah. Tomorrow. You're what? Tomorrow.
So, okay, again, this was such a Ron Burgundy moment because the show notes say please join us again on Monday, and I don't even know what that means, but we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, guys.